This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to the KNC! Masterpiece!
You got me, Kevin Hagland, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bacsik, and Alec Medford. Gentlemen, it is also Corey Majors' birthday. Mm. What have you brought him as tribute?
Oh, wow.
Not a lot of answers
there.
All right,
there we go.
I put it on the run sheet.
Thanks.
I feel like that was my tribute.
Appreciate that. Well, today's not Friday, Kevin, so it's not shout out Friday. So don't shout me out for birthday today.
41 years old, because I remember going to your 40th birthday party.
That was not last year.
Really?
Yes.
Boy, time goes by.
43. So we've been working together for at least 3 years.
That was 3 years ago, Mike.
Oh, yeah, the corner house, right? Yeah,
it's a different house now.
They don't even live there
anymore.
It's a
different house now. But I love that house. Well, actually, you know what's crazy about that house? The people that bought that house, the wife works with Adrian at My Possibilities. So, yeah, it's a pretty awesome moment right there. So,
you ever wanted to get enough money that you could just buy all your old houses?
Yes. That would be kind of dope.
And just, like you just own everything you've lived in.
Yes. Yeah. Or even like the old apartment complexes and stuff like that too. And just go back and hang out every once in a while.
Yeah. I'm fine with just doing the houses.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Either way, I definitely hear what you're saying. All right. Now we're going to get to plenty free agency talk for the NBA. We're keeping tabs on, I guess it's come down now to the Klay Thompson situation for the Mavericks. I'm sure there could still be some other moves afoot, but it really feels like mostly the Klay Thompson situation is what we're keeping an eye out on for the Mavericks specifically.
I'm very shocked whenever you're not excited about that, but you're like, you would be happy with it, but you're not excited about it.
I'm excited about a prospect that Mike threw out there. If the Golden State Warriors really are looking to sign and trade into that trade exception that the Mavericks got for Tim Hardaway Jr., great. But what I think is actually going to happen is he's going to get like a 3-year, $75 million deal, and then you're going to use part of the trade exception and then ship off like Josh Green. And I'm not saying it's about like losing Josh Green. That's not my primary concern.
You love Josh Green, though.
It's just a lot of money for somebody who I see the appeal of. I do, and I think he will fit on this team. I'm in favor of this move, but that's why I think I stopped a little short of saying excited.
All right, but when he's hitting threes in the Western Conference Finals,
well, if that's where we're back at, yeah, then hell yeah.
All right, okay.
I'll be excited. I see the appeal of the move. For sure I see the appeal of the move.
Can I make it maybe more appealing to you?
Oh, yes, please.
Al Horford isn't close to the player he was 5 years ago. Now, Al Horford had to change a lot of teams to finally get his championship.
True.
And a lot of teams thought he's a missing piece. And he actually was never a negative piece. He wasn't a negative piece in Philadelphia or Boston the first time or Boston this last time. Al Horford isn't the borderline all-star he used to be for a lot of his career. But he really helps in the playoffs, and he's a glue guy. He knows what championship chemistry, even though he hadn't been a champion, he knows, like, he was the guy trying his best to get Kyrie to engage in being a Boston Celtic. He failed in that, but he was trying his best to let the young players know, hey, you don't have to follow him, but we have to get along. We have, you know, and it fell apart. And then he went to Philadelphia and it was like, maybe not the perfect fit. And I just think that people like Al Horford are needed on championship teams.
Yeah, I got you.
And I think Klay Thompson, totally different player, but a dude who's been through so many championship battles, if you can get him healthy and on the right page with Luka and Kyrie and a new system he would have to play with. I can't remember who was saying this. I think I was listening to Vince Carter last night. He was on YouTube. And I thought Vince Carter had some really interesting comments. He said, the thing about Klay, if he changes to the Mavericks, because everybody assumes he's going to the Mavericks.
Sure.
Is like, is he going to be able to fit in that scheme? He's always moved without the ball. The Mavericks are very little movement with the ball. So he's like, how long will it take him to get used to that? Maybe we need to go to Wyatt Langford talk. But I just wanted to throw out, like, maybe he's our Al Horford.
Okay. No, I get that. And you know what? The other thing, and Corey brought up this signing in the crosstalk. Maybe with Hartenstein or Hartenstein, if you're fancy,
ooh.
I just need to reevaluate my perception of all free agent money because he got three for 87. And so if I'm like, I don't know about Klay at three for 75, maybe I just need to redefine and be like, money doesn't mean what you think it means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I
did great players are $50 million. Good players are $30 million.
Yeah, which is
It seems like there are certain years when owners are more or governors are more likely to be like, you know what? Yeah, that's just the going rate this year. We gotta pay for that. Kind of like with quarterbacks in the NFL.
Man, as I'm watching through Clipped, because as soon as we had Ramona Shelburne on there, I was like, I think my wife would really like this because she doesn't know this story. It feels like Donald Sterling is single-handedly responsible for them changing it to governors because he goes around telling all of these people, I'm your owner. Yeah. I own you. And so I'm not saying that that's the only reason it changed, but it does feel like he was a huge part of the reason for that
makes
change.
Sense.
Yeah, he was. That's after that happened. That's when they're
like
tried to change the name of it.
Because
I don't know.
He
if it's
goes around and tells every single person that. Now, in the meantime, would you like to go with cut number two or cut number three, Corey?
Let's go with cut number three.
Oh, picking against Eric Nadel. Cut number three. This is Wyatt Langford on ESPN.
You did it.
Langford down the line. Single and a homer to cap it.
All right, now that we've heard that, because my pen was sitting on top of Nadel's name.
Oh, yeah, right.
I would rather hear Eric Nadel call on
it's
this.
It's your birthday. Yeah. I mean, you picked.
That's a good point.
Hey, you're an ESPN guy over 105.3 The Fan.
Your birthday wish was to not hear Nadel, is what I'm learning.
No, I've revisited this. I wanted to play both of them for comparison to see why Eric Nadel is more superior.
Here comes Crook. A swing and a drive deep down the line and left. It's hooking at the foul pole. That ball is history. Wyatt Langford has hit for the cycle. It's a three-run Jimmy Jack to finish it off. And the Rangers lead 11-2.
See, on your face, Otobe McDowell.
His voice is like, it's like velvet, just in wrapped in
can't
butter.
Make up for what you did.
God, it's so smooth. Yeah, so
you picked him last.
The last is best.
Something all
like
right.
Well, your face.
Man, that is not the direction that I thought this was going to go. This was really interesting to me. I mean, well, first of all, the cycle is amazing and maybe even more amazing. This might be a jerk thing to say. Is it the Rangers won? It's been a tough run.
It's 1-6 on that road trip. Yeah, it was as almost as bad as it could go. Almost, but they did get a win.
Wyatt Langford, the first Rangers rookie to hit for the cycle since
Otobe McDowell
in 1985. And then also,
how did you know that?
We had Otobe McDowell on the show recently.
He's great.
He was so cool.
He's the eighth player in the last 75 seasons to hit for the cycle in their first 60 games in Major League Baseball. Dave Kingman, Gary Ward, Otobe McDowell, Alex Ochoa, Luke Scott, Fred Lewis, Ellie De La Cruz.
I've heard of him.
And now Wyatt Langford.
Okay.
Not necessarily the most star-studded list in the world.
I'm being very serious. Could he be the catalyst for the Rangers offense? Because they don't look excited.
If you rely on a 22-year-old who has about 12 at-bats in the minor leagues, that's scary. The catalyst has to be the person who we got lucky that he didn't break his wrist. Corey Seager, yeah. Go look at, this is my opinion, go look at Gunnar Henderson's numbers. Corey Seager needs to match those numbers in the second half.
I
need 25 home runs. I need 1,000 OPS. If the Rangers are going to possibly get out of this, the guy that you pay the most, the guy who's your best hitter, and I get he doesn't need 25 home runs, but he does need like a 1 OPS. So I get he might not have the same power that Gunnar Henderson has. He's maybe more of a doubles guy with some home runs, but he needs to have an OPS of 1,000 while playing pretty much the rest of the season. I get you're going to have to give him an off day here and there, but if it's going to happen, I think it's going to have to happen through your best player.
I have another question about that. Like, obviously, I agree with you that Corey Seager is going to be the catalyst for a lot of this stuff. Adolis Garcia, we talked so long about how much of a funk he's been in. He has reached base in a season best 11 straight games. I'm not saying that means everything is fine, all the past problems are over. Do you think he could be a part, or do you think he has to be a part of the offensive rejuvenation as well?
Yes, because I look at him being a perennial all-star. Obviously, he's not going to be an all-star this year, but you look at his career. He's made it twice in his Ranger career for, this is his fourth year, so he's going to make it 2 out of 4 years, if I have that correct, yeah. In his career so far as an all-star for the Rangers is he has to hit like the all-star he has been in his career. And so if this is going to turn around, you've dug yourself a pretty good hole at this point. At this point, you're looking at having to play close to 20 games over 500 the rest of the way, which is not easy to do. Marcus Semien has to, like, he, at this point, go look at Wyatt Langford's numbers and Marcus Semien's numbers. Batting average and OPS, Wyatt Langford for the season, as much as we've talked about, he only has 4 home runs and this and that. Wyatt Langford now has a higher batting average by far and OPS over Marcus Semien.
Which is
trade Marcus Semien and let Langford play second.
See, that feels bad because I know going into the season, I probably would have told you that was a good thing, and that means every single offense.
But they're both under 700.
That they're rocking and rolling. But now that feels bad, seeing as how we've seen how much Wyatt Langford has struggled throughout the season. That doesn't feel like a good thing. Now I know he's coming on, and I'm excited he's coming on. But Marcus Semien is another person. Like, as much as we talk about Adolis Garcia, hope Corey Seager's okay, Marcus Simeon's got to get it going
for sure. And by the way, I misspoke. I didn't realize Wyatt Langford after yesterday, his OPS went up to 713, so he's above 700. But Marcus Semien's OPS is 684 for the year. It should be 820, somewhere around there, maybe 850.
Yeah.
And it just isn't. Corey Seager's under 800 for his OPS this year.
Like, if it's under 900 for him, it almost feels disappointing. That's a really high bar, I realize.
16 home runs for Adolis Garcia. That's nice, because that would mean you're going to have about 30, 32 home runs. His OPS is 710. Wyatt Langford's is 713.
And you look at Wyatt Langford for the month. 3 home runs, 22 RBIs, hitting 309 with an OPS of 894. And I realized yesterday really helped. By the way, I think it was Ravitch who said that was the first cycle in the history of Sunday Night Baseball.
Yeah.
Which was really, really cool.
Who would have guessed it?
Where do you put the cycle on the accomplishments in baseball list?
It's
not super high for me.
Okay. And I was looking at how
it seems just so random of a night that could happen.
That is
like anything, I guess.
I saw how similar it was until the number of times a cycle has been produced versus the no hitter. Like, it's not exactly the same, but it's close enough. I think I would be more interested in the no hitter because, like, I get it. Every time Wyatt Langford came to bat, you're like, oh my God, here we go. But you probably don't realize it until the last two at bats, maybe the last one at bat. Whereas the no-hitter, I'm probably too early on this, but the time you get to like the fourth inning, I'm like, oh, hey, he isn't giving up any hits. By the time you got to the sixth inning, I would be pumped every single time that person came back out.
Always that moment where you get you get a single to lead off the day, and you're like, all right, I'm working on the cycle today. And
I wonder about that.
And I'm doing it in order.
I think the same thing that you said a long time ago about, I believe it was Al Leiter, if he had a 1-2-3 first inning, and you're like, yeah, and he's like, calm down, it's the first inning. I don't think he goes into the dugout and is like, eight more to get the no-hitter.
And I'm trying to put them in order because I've never really thought of this, but perfect game and 4 home runs in a game are the two, I think, biggest accomplishments in a single game.
Yeah,
I think for a reliever, the immaculate inning, because you're really only going to pitch one inning in the game, maybe two. So you come into the game, if you throw nine pitches and you go nine straight strikes with three Ks, like, to me, that is harder to do than hitting for the cycle. I'm not saying hitting for the cycle is easy. It's going to be on the board, but I've asked players this before, and I think Tom Grieve led me down this at one point years ago. If you ask hitters, what would you rather have, a cycle or a three home run game? Almost everybody will say, I'd rather hit three homers and strike out the other at bat than hit a single, double, triple, and homer.
Kevin, I have a huge announcement.
As long as it's not about politics.
Today is also Badass Mofo Ladies, Lady T's birthday.
Ooh.
So I have a birthday twin, Corey, in her.
Let me ask you how you rank this.
On the Twolo page.
Her birthday, my sister's birthday, Bobby Bonilla Day, and your birthday. How do you rank the hierarchy of those
things? Badass Mofo Lady, your sister, obviously, who I'm not supposed to say her name, you said, and your mom said. And then my birthday, then Bobby Bonilla Day.
Okay.
Bobby Bonilla Day is awesome and everything. But I just saw, Kevin, from Darren Rovell, that at least three other people are getting paid a lot of money today as
well. Yeah, I do kind of want to revisit that because I didn't know that.
The Nats are paying Max Scherzer $15 million today. Ken Griffey Jr. gets his last payment of $3.59 million from the Reds. And Manny Ramirez gets $1.96 from the Red Sox. So, yeah, Bobby Bonilla, dude, every year, $1 million just shows up. You're like, there you go.
He gets paid till 2035.
He'll be 79 or something like that. It's an amazing deal. And didn't he get another, like, one of those kind of things from, like, the Orioles, too? Something,
did he?
They, like, pay him $500,000. I don't know. It's something crazy I heard Choppy say this morning, too. So it's a great day, though. And
it is a great day.
And then also,
don't worry about that other part. We're not talking about that right now. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the newest Dallas Maverick. And then saying goodbye to Derek Jones Jr. 877-881-1053. You want to text in? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Irving got a shot blocked. Gathered by Jones, of one to shoot. Jones makes it as the buzzer sounds. What a series for Derek Jones. 5-point game.
Not good enough, though. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. The newest Dallas Maverick and saying goodbye to Derek Jones Jr. Do you want to start with Najee Marshall? Because, look, I have to admit, I was pretty stunned by this turn of events because I realized people were talking about the agency switch and the 15-day delay and everything like that, but I thought the Mavericks were saying, hey, maybe it's with Josh Green in the deal. Maybe it's just with the trade extension. We think we got a real shot at getting Klay Thompson and perhaps still making a run or getting Derek Jones Jr. with most of our mid-level exception. So when I saw this, I have to admit, I was very surprised. The more you think about it, it makes sense. But just in the moment, I was like, wait, what?
I try to be as honest as possible. So I'm going to be as honest as possible here. When I saw on Twitter last night around 10 p.m. before I went to bed that the Mavericks had signed Najee Marshall to 3 years, $27 million, I said, who in the world is this person? I do not remember watching him play basketball ever. I did go to YouTube and watch highlights.
Yeah.
And so He doesn't really look at all like Derrick Jones Jr. in like dunking the ball. He does like dunking left-handed. I will say that. He is. So in that case, when you watch him dunk and it's a left-handed dunk, you're like, yeah, that looks like Derrick Jones Jr. Derrick Jones Jr. is two more feet above the rim when he does it. Which,
he flies.
But I do trust Nico right now. Nico had another plan in place. Mark Cuban never had another plan in place. And it was amazing to us. Every year, I'm assuming this, advisors would tell Mark, Mark, what if Dwight Howard doesn't want to play here? What if Chris Paul or Deron Williams doesn't want to play here? He's like, nope, they're playing here. I already know it's a done deal. And then they would not choose the Mavs. And then the Mavs would be like, we literally have no clue what we're going to do. And it'd take them 7 days to recover as the whole market was just gone. And then Mark Cuban would finally go, well, I guess since this didn't work and I'm blaming the agent and I'm blaming the player, I guess I will sign this dude. For example, one of them that ended up working out okay was Monte Ellis. But like, yeah, they never liked Monte Ellis as a player. And they're like, screw it. He's the only person left on the market.
You're
sign
here.
Him. We yeah. have money. Sign him. And it ended up being okay. But I will say, Nico, I trust him. He's been able to find a Derrick Jones Jr., which when Derrick Jones Jr. was signed last year, it was later in this. I was like, he has not figured it out anywhere. And I'll tell you what, if the Miami Heat can't figure out how to use a player, we're not going to figure it out. And the Mavericks did. So even though I don't really know Najee Marshall and have only watched 10 minutes of highlights on YouTube on him, I have a feeling that Nico and the coaching staff believe that they can use that guy for 15 to 20 minutes a night in a positive way.
He is I think he's a more physical defender, although I think both of them in certain situations kind of get lost in the defense sometimes. But he's more physical, got a body type that's more like PJ than the wiry Derrick Jones Jr. But here's a number, Kevin, that stuck out a lot to me. The last 2 years, this is from Iztok Franco, the last 2 years, 40% of Marshall's three-point shots were heavily contested. 40% of them. Compare that to Derrick Jones Jr., 25%. Dorian Finney-Smith, 26%. Josh Green, 35%. So those guys have, like, they've seen because of Luka, like, everybody has to collapse and stop Luka. So he's going to have more opportunities to have wide open threes, especially in the corner where it looks like his numbers are very high there compared to Derrick Jones Jr.
To your point, I don't know New Orleans point guard history as well as maybe I should. They've never had a point guard there. That's why they just traded for Murray, is because I'm not saying Murray's like the prototypical point guard. He's more of a scoring guard who plays point too, but he's never had a guy who's been able to hit him in the pocket where he needs it, where he gets that really that in the NBA 1 second to gather and shoot before the closeout happens. So, you know, maybe the Mavs look at it and say, hey, he's never played with a point guard in his life. And so now he's always had to see Brandon Ingram's a one-on-one do his thing. And he's not going to find like a good pass. He's going to find himself a good shot, mm-hmm. you know? So this is going to be, it'll be interesting. And I don't think they're planning on Marshall taking a starting spot right now. I think they really think Klay Thompson's going to take that spot.
Yeah,
but
yes.
If Klay Thompson signs elsewhere, then he becomes a much more needed or valuable piece, you hope.
Does it help you out that he's probably better at dribbling the basketball? I know that sounds like a weird question, right? Because you're like, hey, you're in the NBA. There's a shocking amount of people in the NBA.
They can't dribble.
Like, yes, that's not particularly their skill. I think I'm not saying he's great by any means. He's more adept with the ball than Derrick Jones Jr.
I can only tell that through highlights. And I will say, through his highlights, he made a couple of passes and a couple of dribble moves that I was like, well, Derrick Jones Jr. can't do that.
Yeah.
So, yes, without watching him play a whole game and seeing it, I did notice he can. One time, he kind of hits a trailer with a behind-the-back pass, a behind-the-back bounce pass, where I'm like, oh, that was nice. I will say he seemed to be really smart at this, and I don't know. The Mavericks don't usually do this offense. They would throw the ball at times into Valanciunas. And then he would, as his guy turned his head to maybe double Valanciunas or look, he would cut quickly to the basket. Valanciunas is a pretty good big man passer, would hit him on a cut, and he would finish at the rim. So I was like, oh, wow, that's nice. Like, that shows me basketball IQ. When that guy turns his head I'm going to take off if there's a lane, and I'm going to trust that guy like a Derek Lively, let's say. Gafford probably isn't, and Kleba aren't probably good enough to hit that. But if ever Luka's posting up and he sees the guy maybe go for a quick double team or a soft double team and turn his head.
I just saw the play you're talking about, and he looks really smooth doing it.
And so
that.
I'm like, maybe he's going to be a guy that knows when to cut off of the three-point line, where, you know, that is a skill too.
Now, I saw this from the Mavs blog, at the Mavs blog on Twitter, if you want to go check it out. He defended every single position at least 12% of the time. Now, it is true he primarily was guarding the 2, 3, or 4. All right, so shooting guard, small forward, power forward, that is if you still believe that position basketball exists. But he is capable of guarding the point guard and the center. You just didn't see that as much. But the vast majority of the time, he was switching up between 2, 3, and 4. And that's good because obviously we felt really good about Derek Jones Jr.'s defensive flexibility. And I feel good about the perimeter ability and flexibility about Najee.
And I don't think he's going to get bullied by anybody. Not that Derek Jones Jr. did get bullied, but he's lighter, you know, and I don't think he's going to get pushed around by many people in that range, that 2, 3, 4 area. But I also think on the other side of it, Kevin, he can bully. Like, he can be one of those guys that puts a shoulder in somebody's chest. It's not going to feel good at all. Whereas Derek Jones Jr., he was kind of slipping into cracks and making some great stuff happen. And he was a really good rim finisher. But different players, how they fit in your system is going to be a lot of fun to see.
I watched this morning Locked On Mavs. Yeah. I went to bed before this happened. So in the morning,
Nick Angstad was doing stuff about it last night.
Yeah. And so, and Reggie Adetulo came on. So it was Nick and her A. I call him A because his last name confuses me. And then Reggie. And so they were talking about him, and Nick reached out to Locked On Locked On Pelicans. And they said, you're really going to like him, and talked about how he's an irritator, how he's physical, and all of these things. So what you're saying, Corey, is at least what Locked On Mavs, talking to Locked On Pelicans.
That's good to hear.
Said there's going to be some good things you like about him, his physicality. The other thing too, which Reggie brought up and Nick, is Reggie brought up, at times people asked for Morris to come in and punch somebody in the nose for what they had done to our team. And they said, this guy is willing to fight anybody in the NBA.
Love it.
He might get thrown out of a game here and there because he decides I'm going to fight.
There might be a time when that's fine.
And so he is going to be an enforcer when it comes to, if you take a shot at Kyrie or Luka, or if you take a shot at Derek Lively, you know, you hope he's smart enough to in playoff time. You're like, hey, we don't need you to punch this guy in the face right now. We kind of need you. In the regular season, if you do that to our guy, I'll make sure to get you back or your star player back.
I'll take that, baby. I mean, we saw PJ in the Clippers series, right? Get physical and stand on business. And then he did it, you know, multiple times.
True.
Got another one of those guys that gives you some attitude that you need, man. When you have Luka, who already is a dog himself.
Right.
I know he whines and everything, but he's also, ask anybody in the NBA, they don't want to deal with that dude. You add a group of other like-minded dogs with them, you're going to be all right.
Now, you talked about how Najee Marshall is less likely to get the wide open three, which is good in terms of how you can move the ball around. But when he does get a wide open three, man, he hits it 40.7%. And I just want to use this comparison. You know what the Mavs starters shot wide open threes in the finals?
Oh, man. I want to say it's less. I want to say 28%.
17.6% on wide open threes. And so when you looked at some of the three breakdowns, 40.7% on wide open threes, catch and shoots, 39.6%, corner threes, 42%. Lord knows the Mavericks love to hit up that corner three. So I do see a lot of positives that come along with it.
This year was the highest three-point percentage in Derek Jones Jr.'s career. All right? Because, again, who he's playing with on that team creates that. And, Kevin, Najee will get the percentage is going to go down for him going from New Orleans to Dallas. That percentage will be in the 28 range, 28% of times.
Yeah,
he'll be more open more often than ever. Heavily contested threes, that number will be down in like the 20s because of what's going on with Luka. But you got max from Derek Jones Jr. And now you have, you just brought a guy in who was like, traditionally, this is just what he does. Ooh. So that makes it like, that makes it even easier for you.
I will heartily disagree with that. Last year was the first year you saw this from him. His rookie year, he was solid. The 2 years after that, he was a horrid three-point shooter. So you are counting on the fact that the Najee Marshall you saw last year from three is who you're going to get, because he showed a gigantic improvement.
Yeah, his rookie year, he was 35%, and then last year was 38%.
In between 20% and 30%.
Yeah, and that being said, Derrick Jones Jr. had never shot 35% from three.
True.
So that's another factor.
And never
that goes
as bad
in.
As Najee. Yeah. So it's a tough call, but you need to hope that that is what you're getting going forward. And I think with more open threes, it stands logical. But we're taking a little bit of a leap in faith that last year was the real Najee as well.
Well, and here's what I wonder. He shot 2.3 attempts per game last year, and then 2.8 the year before at 30%, and then last year 38. He's going to probably shoot, if he's playing 20 minutes a night, I was thinking four.
Okay.
So I was thinking he's going to like close to double up his attempts on the Dallas Mavericks.
I can see that.
And if he wants to get playing time right now, let's not add Klay Thompson to the team, but if you have PJ Washington, Josh Green, Quentin Grimes, Hardy off the bench, Luka and Kyrie are going to take up quite a few minutes. I know they're not wing players, but you start looking at Maxey, he's probably not going to be that healthy to play a lot, but he's a wing guy for you. If Najee Marshall goes back to a 30-point, three-point shooter, he's going to watch basketball games.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that they're only going to give him 10 games, but after the first 20 games, if he is a 30-point, three-point shooter and inconsistent on open threes, I think the Mavs have enough depth where they're like, you're only going to play when guys need nights off. You're not going to play in our normal rotation. And I didn't even mention Dante Exum. So I think that it's very important in this offseason that Marshall becomes a 35% open three-point shooter or better. We just showed the numbers that
has shot better last year.
So it's going to be very important for his minutes that he's making, at least 1 and 3 and really more like 2 and 5 open three.
Well, and I mean, the same thing we talked about last week with PJ is hopefully he has a full offseason of working on that for himself. And then you got pretty much essentially kind of like you had with Dorian Finney-Smith and Bullock, where you have two guys who are very good defensive players who can hit corner threes. They got big size and length to go along with it now.
I know we talked a lot about the player that's going to be here, and obviously that makes sense. But, man, I just wanted to say, what a hell of a job from Derrick Jones Jr. Thank you very much for being way more important to this finals run than I ever would have guessed at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, but you're a Clipper now, so eat it.
So he's dead to you.
Yeah, he's dead to me now.
Okay.
Signed with the wrong team, bro. Oh. No, I saw somebody say Derrick Jones Jr. is a Mav for life. I was like, for 1 year, I mean, okay, that's, I guess.
Hey,
like,
it was this close to getting the Tyson Chandler treatment. Yeah. Like, 1 year, one title,
one moment.
He's ours forever. No, I could see that.
But, again, didn't happen, so.
You're right, it did not happen. So, the future is here, and the future is Najee. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next.
Future's Clay, Kevin.
Okay, fair. Hopefully we will get that information today. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Vasek, which Mike forgot about.
July 1st, power rankings are out. Are the Rangers in the top 10?
No.
Oh, okay, next.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Want to remind everybody, in the noon o'clock hour, we'll be giving away that Marcus Semien All-Star Baseball bat. It looks awesome. Would we like him to be using it more this year? Yes, that is
fair.
Swings
well. Swings very well.
There's only 15 of these made. We'll be giving one of them away in the noon o'clock hour. Now, Baseball Nuggets with Mike Vasek.
All right, we get to July 1st, and I go to MLB.com for their power rankings. I think this is important.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Rangers go 1-6 on the road trip. They have an off day today, and they start a homestand where I really do think they're going to need to have a positive homestand and then a positive road trip before the All-Star break if they want. I think Chris Young, this is too strong of, I'm not going to say it. I'm trying to put it in a way that I'm not taking a shot or anything like that. I'm not trying to. Is for Chris Young to believe that this team can do something special after the All-Star break, I think they have to show something before the All-Star break to show that they can actually get out of this just slump, rut, whatever that they are in. Yesterday was a great game. Maybe that's the start of something. We've said about 10 times this year, is this the start to something?
And that's the thing, Mike. Every single time I want to believe that it could be the start, right, and then reality punches you in the face.
All right, power rankings. Number one, Philadelphia Phillies. Now, I want this to sink into Ranger fans and how important this is, because we've heard the excuse of injuries on the Rangers. That the Phillies are without Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, and JT Realmuto, and are still ranked number one, speaks to how resourceful this team is. Many people consider the Phillies more top-heavy than they actually are. So I'm just going to stop right there. They have seen other people be hurt this year, too. Trey Turner has been out for part of the season. Brandon Marsh has been out for part of the season. They have had people that have been out of their lineup consistently.
Yeah.
They're number one. The Rangers this year, I understand the excuse. We haven't had Josh Young, or at times we haven't had Corey Seager, or hey, Evan Carter has been hurt for a while and he got off to a slow start first year in the majors as a everyday player, this and that. But the Phillies are number one in all of baseball, and they're not a healthy team. Yeah. They haven't been healthy all year, and yet they're number one. And their lowest rank was number eight this year. So they probably started off the season, I'm going to assume, lower ranked. But they are now the number one team in baseball after, let's just say, this is pretty much for everybody the halfway mark of the season. Phillies are number one.
But they do have like Trey Turner and Alex Baum, and both of them are hitting over 300 right now, too. Yes. Like they're doing well.
So it's like one guy gets healthy, another guy gets hurt. But they're able to overcome the injuries in their lineup and still be a premium offensive team. And they've gotten great. Ranger Suarez has kind of come out of nowhere. Yeah. And, you know, and they have Zach Wheeler, who's been awesome for them. So they've had some awesome pitching performances. But I find it interesting. Number one is Philly. And the first thing they say is, dude, they've dealt with a lot of injuries, and yet they're still considered, you know, for MLB.com, the number one team in baseball power ranking wise. Number two, you just played them, the Baltimore Orioles. I think you can see just how good and talented that they are. If you watch this four game series, that they should be a team. I'm just going to assume they're at least playing in the American League Championship Series. Last year, it looked like they would. Rangers upset them and put them in a spot that they thought for sure that they were going to be playing for. But this year, I do think they're going to be playing in the ALCS. It's just a matter of, you know, will they be hot enough and playing their best baseball to make it to the World Series? Number three, the Dodgers. By the way, the Dodgers have been number one. They were number four. Their season low is number six. The Orioles, I want to say, their season low has been five. So if you want to see how consistent the Orioles have been, they have been five or better all season in the power rankings. The Dodgers have been six or better the whole season. They're number three right now. Number four, the Guardians. Now, they have been as low as 21. That was to start the year, just to show where the Guardians...
still have hope we can turn it around is what I'm hearing
there. Yes, but they have a dude in Stephen Kwan who, as of this report, was batting 368. I don't think we have a guy batting 368 this year.
Not yet.
But I round out the top five with the New York Yankees. They were previously number one. They have dropped from one to five, but their season low has been seven. So we do have four out of these five teams have all been ranked very high throughout the whole season. The Guardians are the only kind of upstart team that nobody saw to start the year, the Guardians being a top five team halfway through the MLB season. Now, those are your top five. As I scroll down, where do you think the Rangers are at the halfway point of MLB power rankings?
They're not number one. You know,
I mean, they're not.
Based on how
you
things...
You just heard him go through the top.
Who's the defending champion right now, Kevin?
That is the Rangers.
Mike, I would have them below like 25 based on how I feel right now.
I'm going to say 18.
But like, I'll say 23.
Season high number four. But now they're season low, number 21.
Oh.
So they are at 21 right now. This is the lowest they've been in the power rankings. Here's what MLB.com says. The last thing in the world that the Rangers needed, considering all the injury issues they've had this season, was an injury to Corey Seager. It appears they dodged trouble when x-rays did not show a fracture. So yeah. That is great. If you weren't watching this weekend and busy, Corey Seager gets pegged with a ball about in the same place it looked like as Josh Young. Luckily, it didn't break. And so now we just have to see the soreness and the pain. He didn't play yesterday. They have an off day today. We will see if Corey Seager can possibly play tomorrow. But it says 8 games out in the AL West and in serious danger of being passed by the Angels.
Yeah, it wasn't until yesterday, prior to the Sunday night game, that I really took a look at, oh my gosh, they're dangerously close to being in fourth place.
The teams that are the worst, the White Sox are the worst. The Marlins are the second worst. The Rockies are the third worst. The A's are the fourth worst, and the Angels are the fifth worst. Those are your 5 bottom teams at the halfway point, according to MLB Power Rankings. Now, we talked about Lankford already. He had the cycle. That was awesome. That's great. Hopefully, he can keep going. If you watch Sunday Night Baseball, I think, I'm not sure if Evan Grant, this is where Twitter, this is why I don't really do Twitter anymore, is I don't post on Twitter. I can't tell when somebody's being sarcastic or authentic at times.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because Evan Grant put, very organic for Gunnar Henderson on the mic.
I thought he was being sarcastic. Okay. But to be fair, I don't know that either. I also had to try and interpret.
I'm glad you're.
No, I knew exactly what you're saying because he was like, "Oh, he just so happened to have his mic on when he announced it."
Yeah, like ESPN, who's hosting the home run. I think they're doing the home run derby. Maybe it is all Fox.
That is how I interpreted it. But to be fair, I understand the confusion that you're talking about.
Gunnar Henderson was mic'd up, and Gunnar Henderson, while being mic'd up, they ask him if he is going to participate in the home run derby like Adley Rutschman did last year. And he said, I'm making the announcement right now. I'm going to be in the home run derby in Arlington for the All-Star game. Yeah. A big assumption by him to think he's going to be an All-Star this year.
I mean, wouldn't you make a...
He struck out 4 times yesterday. Maybe he just lost it.
He's the third best player in the American League. Like, at worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't assume anything.
Yeah, Kevin. Says Kevin.
That's. I feel like you're there with me, right? Didn't you just say he's going to do better than Mike Trout the other day?
I did, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Then he struck out 4 times on Sunday.
Have you rethought that position?
No, I think he is. I think for the next decade, he's going to be a top 5 player in baseball. So when you ask somebody in the last 10 years or the last 5 years, who are the best players in baseball? Obviously, Shohei's going to come up very strongly in that. Aaron Judge is going to come up strongly in that. I think you're going to look at Soto possibly, Acuna possibly. Acuna's like really wavy, as in super downs and super ups. But Mookie Betts is one of them for sure that's going to be a top 5 player in the game in the last 5 years. I think when we get down the road and some of those guys start possibly exiting that conversation, I think Gunnar Henderson is going to be one of the 5 best players in the game for his time.
Man.
Wow. That's exciting right now if you want to like start following his career like that.
Yeah.
What if I want to root against him every single time?
I'm okay with rooting against people.
No, I have nothing against him personally. He just plays for not our team.
Brady Anderson had a great year, right? Once. True. You know? Other than that, root against that guy.
So I was looking at trade rumors yesterday, and maybe this is not the time yet, but it's interesting that the White Sox have 2 premium players, one that is always hurt, and Luis Robert. Yeah. And I was telling my son this. He's like, Luis Robert's on the trade market. I was like, if you're another team, how much do you want to trade for a guy that only plays 50% of the time? But the 50% of the time he plays, awesome. He's really good. I just would be very careful. And if you're the White Sox, you're telling him you're trading for one of, let's say, the 6 best center fielders in the game. But I'd be like, well, I want him, but I'm scared to death that if I have him, he's not even going to be healthy enough to play in October. So I think that's the scary part of Luis Robert, but it's going to be interesting. I bet he doesn't get traded because I bet the White Sox want a whole bunch. He's a free agent after next season, if I have his years right. So you get him for this run and another run, and then he would become a free agent, but he's so hurt all of the time. And then Garrett Crochet, who has just been, he's been one of the best left-handed starters in the game. He's up there with Skubal. Suarez, very different pitcher. I mentioned him for Philadelphia, but Crochet pitching for such a horrible team and giving that team a chance to win every time he takes them out and dominating hitters on a consistent basis. They're saying that the Dodgers – The Orioles that have, you know, good farm systems, they could look to possibly see if the White Sox are willing to trade Crochet, who, let's face it, the White Sox aren't going to be good anytime soon. So having an ace pitcher doesn't make a lot of sense when you're like, we're 3 years away from being 3 years away.
Oh, we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I think it's really going to happen this time. Or maybe the Klay Thompson news is going to break instead.
I'll take the Klay Thompson.
I'll gladly take the
Have
Klay Thompson.
Have the Mavs earned the NBA's respect? Next, right here on The Fan.
Next.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Want to remind everybody, in the noon o'clock hour, we'll be giving away that Marcus Semien All-Star Baseball bat. It looks awesome. Would we like him to be using it more this year? Yes, that is
fair.
Swings
well. Swings very well.
There's only 15 of these made. We'll be giving one of them away in the noon o'clock hour. Now, baseball nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
All right, we get to July 1st, and I go to MLB.com for their power rankings. I think this is important.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Rangers go 1-6 on the road trip. They have an off day today, and they start a homestand. Where I really do think they're going to need to have a positive homestand and then a positive road trip before the All-Star break if they want. I think Chris Young, this is too strong of, I'm not going to say it. I'm trying to put it in a way that I'm not taking a shot or anything like that. I'm not trying to. Is for Chris Young to believe that this team can do something special after the All-Star break, I think they have to show something before the All-Star break to show that they can actually get out of this slump, rut, whatever that they are in. Yesterday was a great game. Maybe that's the start of something. We've said about 10 times this year, is this the start to something?
And that's the thing, Mike. Every single time I want to believe that it could be the start, right, and then reality punches you in the face.
All right, power rankings. Number one, Philadelphia Phillies. Now, I want this to sink into Ranger fans and how important this is, because we've heard the excuse of injuries on the Rangers. That the Phillies are without Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, and JT Realmuto and are still ranked number one speaks to how resourceful this team is. Many people consider the Phillies more top-heavy than they actually are. So I'm just going to stop right there. They have seen other people be hurt this year, too. Trey Turner has been out for part of the season. Brandon Marsh has been out for part of the season. They have had people that have been out of their lineup consistently.
Yeah.
They're number one. The Rangers this year, I understand the excuse. We haven't had Josh Young, or at times we haven't had Corey Seager, or hey, Evan Carter has been hurt for a while and he got off to a slow start first year in the majors as a everyday player, this and that. But the Phillies are number one in all of baseball, and they're not a healthy team. Yeah. They haven't been healthy all year, and yet they're number one. And their lowest rank was number eight this year. So they probably started off the season, I'm going to assume, lower ranked. But they are now the number one team in baseball after, let's just say, this is pretty much for everybody the halfway mark of the season. Phillies are number one.
I think, but they do have like Trey Turner and Alex Baum, and both of them are hitting over 300 right now, too. Yes. Like they're doing well.
So it's like one guy gets healthy, another guy gets hurt. But they're able to overcome the injuries in their lineup and still be a premium offensive team. And they've gotten great. Ranger Suarez has kind of come out of nowhere. Yeah. And, you know, and they have Zach Wheeler, who's been awesome for them. So they've had some awesome pitching performances. But I find it interesting. Number one is Philly. And the first thing they say is, dude, they've dealt with a lot of injuries, and yet they're still considered, you know, for MLB.com, the number one team in baseball power ranking-wise. Number two, you just played them, the Baltimore Orioles. I think you can see just how good and talented that they are if you watch this four-game series, that they should be a team. I'm just going to assume they're at least playing in the American League Championship Series. Last year, it looked like they would. Rangers upset them and put them in a spot that they thought for sure that they were going to be playing for. But this year, I do think they're going to be playing in the ALCS. It's just a matter of, you know, will they be hot enough and playing their best baseball to make it to the World Series? Number three, the Dodgers. By the way, the Dodgers have been number one. They were number four. Their season low is number six. The Orioles, I want to say, their season low has been five. So if you want to see how consistent the Orioles have been, they have been five or better all season in the power rankings. The Dodgers have been six or better The whole season, they're number three right now. Number four, the Guardians. Now, they have been as low as 21. That was to start the year, just to show
so
where
I
the
can
Guardians...
still have hope we can turn it around is what I'm hearing.
There. Yes, but they have a dude in Stephen Kwan who, as of this report, was batting 368. I don't think we have a guy batting 368 this
year. Not yet.
But I round out the top five with the New York Yankees. They were previously number one. They have dropped from one to five, but their season low has been seven. So we do have four out of these five teams have all been ranked very high throughout the whole season. The Guardians are the only kind of upstart team that nobody saw to start the year, the Guardians being a top five team halfway through the MLB season. Now, those are your top five. As I scroll down, where do you think the Rangers are at the halfway point of MLB power rankings?
They're not number one. You know,
I mean, they're not.
Based on how
you
things...
You just heard him go through the top.
Who's the defending champion right now, Kevin?
That is the Rangers.
Mike, I would have them below like 25 based on how I feel right now.
I'm going to say 18.
But like, I'll say 23.
Season high, number four. But now they're season low, number 21.
Oh.
So they are at 21 right now. This is the lowest they've been in the power rankings. Here's what MLB.com says. The last thing in the world that the Rangers needed, considering all the injury issues they've had this season, was an injury to Corey Seager. It appears they dodged trouble when x-rays did not show a fracture. So that is great. If you weren't watching this weekend and busy, Corey Seager gets pegged with a ball about in the same place it looked like as Josh Young. Luckily, it didn't break. And so now we just have to see the soreness and the pain. He didn't play yesterday. They have an off day today. We will see if Corey Seager can possibly play tomorrow. But it says 8 games out in the AL West, and in serious danger of being passed by the Angels.
Yeah, it wasn't until yesterday, prior to the Sunday night game, that I really took a look at, oh my gosh, they're dangerously close to being in fourth place.
The teams that are the worst, the White Sox are the worst, the Marlins are the second worst, the Rockies are the third worst, the A's are the fourth worst, and the Angels are the fifth worst. Those are your five bottom teams at the halfway point, according to MLB power rankings. Now, we talked about Lankford already. He had the cycle. That was awesome. That's great. Hopefully he can keep going. If you watch Sunday Night Baseball, I'm not sure if Evan Grant, this is why I don't really do Twitter anymore, is I don't post on Twitter. I can't tell when somebody's being sarcastic or authentic at times.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because Evan Grant put, very organic for Gunnar Henderson on the mic.
I thought he was being sarcastic. Okay. But to be fair, I don't know that either. I also had to try and interpret
No,
I knew exactly what you're saying because he was like, oh, he just so happened to have his mic on when he announced it.
Yeah, like ESPN, who's hosting the home run. I think they're doing the home run derby. Maybe it is all Fox.
That is how I interpreted it. But to be fair, I understand the confusion that you're talking about.
Gunnar Henderson was mic'd up, and Gunnar Henderson, while being mic'd up, they ask him if he is going to participate in the home run derby like Adley Rutschman did last year. And he said, I'm making the announcement right now. I'm going to be in the home run derby in Arlington for the All-Star game. Yeah. A big assumption by him to think he's going to be an All-Star this year.
Wouldn't you make a...
He struck out four times yesterday. Maybe he just lost it.
He's the third best player in the American League. At worst.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can't assume anything.
Yeah,
Kevin.
Says Kevin.
That's. I feel like you're there with me, right? Didn't you just say he's going to do better than Mike Trout the other day?
I did, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Then he struck out four times on Sunday.
Have you rethought that position?
No, I think he is. I think for the next decade, he's going to be a top five player in baseball. So when you ask somebody in the last 10 years or the last 5 years, who are the best players in baseball? Obviously, Shohei's going to come up very strongly in that. Aaron Judge is going to come up strongly in that. I think you're going to look at Soto possibly, Acuna possibly. Acuna's like really wavy, as in super downs and super ups. But Mookie Betts is one of them for sure that's going to be a top five player in the game in the last 5 years. I think when we get down the road and some of those guys start possibly exiting that conversation, I think Gunnar Henderson is going to be one of the five best players in the game for his time.
Man.
Wow. That's exciting right now if you want to like start following his career like that.
Yeah.
What if I want to root against him every single time?
I'm okay with rooting against people.
No, I have nothing against him personally. He just plays for not our team.
Brady Anderson had a great year, right? Once. True. You know? Other than that, root against that guy.
So I was looking at trade rumors yesterday, and maybe this is not the time yet, but it's interesting that the White Sox have two premium players, one that is always hurt, and Luis Robert. Yeah. And I was telling my son this. He's like, Luis Robert's on the trade market. I was like, if you're another team, how much do you want to trade for a guy that only plays 50% of the time? But the 50% of the time he plays, awesome. He's really good. I just would be very careful. And if you're the White Sox, you're telling him you're trading for one of, let's say, the six best center fielders in the game. But I'd be like, well, I want him, but I'm scared to death that if I have him, he's not even going to be healthy enough to play in October. So I think that's the scary part of Luis Robert, but it's going to be interesting. I bet he doesn't get traded because I bet the White Sox want a whole bunch. He's a free agent after next season, if I have his years right. So you get him for this run and another run, and then he would become a free agent, but he's so hurt all of the time. And then Garrett Crochet, who has just been, he's been one of the best left-handed starters in the game. He's up there with Scooble. Suarez, very different pitcher. I mentioned him for Philadelphia, but Crochet pitching for such a horrible team and giving that team a chance to win every time he takes them out and dominating hitters on a consistent basis. They're saying that the Dodgers, the Orioles that have, you know, good farm systems, they could look to possibly see if the White Sox are willing to trade Crochet, who, let's face it, the White Sox aren't going to be good anytime soon. So having an ace pitcher doesn't make a lot of sense when you're like, we're 3 years away from being 3 years away.
Oh, we're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, I think it's really going to happen this time. Or maybe the Klay Thompson news is going to break instead.
I'll take the Klay Thompson.
I'll gladly take the
Klay
Thompson.
Have the Mavs earned the NBA's respect? Next, right here on The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.